You're coming for the coach, not the facility, not the bells and whistles you have in your gym, things like that. So that was a big, I realized that. And so like as an owner.
Pat Nolan, owner of Pivotal Sports Performance in Denver, Colorado. This guy brings the juice, and for proof, he even named his dog Juice. So he is on a mission to make an impact that lasts longer than any scoreboard. And if that doesn't fire you up, I don't know what will. So Pat, how are you doing? And tell me something good that's going on in your life.
Thanks for having me, number one. And what's good is we're about to have probably the biggest summer ever. Today is the last day to get everything fine-tuned because tomorrow it kicks off.
Fantastic. So and taking time. Taking time to record. So I'm super grateful for that. So Pat, kind of how we know each other is he used to coach at TC Boots, where I currently coach. He and Steve were like coming up at the same time. And Pat visits every now and again because he's from here, obviously. And we've chatted briefly, or nothing too crazy, but I'm excited to dive in with kind of the journey of being a business owner, starting his own business in this space. But first question, just to get the podcast juices flowing. I call this like the magic box question. So let's say it's like adult show and tell. You have Mary Poppins bag and you can pull anything out of it. It could be real. It can be something you've lost 20 years ago. You haven't seen since, something funny, something sentimental, whatever you want, just like for adult show and tell, pull it out of the box and tell us a story about it.
Huh? Well, I'll keep it related to the field and everything, but
sure.
I mean, my Christmas present every year was training at TC Boots as a kid.
Wow.
I didn't care for Xboxes or video games like that. So my mom was trying to figure out what to get. And luckily enough, I had Tommy in my neighborhood and was got to be one of his first full-time clients at TC Boots. I mean, I was training with him before TC Boots was even a thing.
Wow. When it was Tommy Accelerated. Yeah, just out in the field. So it was what, like a 10 pack for Christmas?
Yep.
This big
punch thing.
This big cardboard box, and inside is one piece of paper that just says receipt for 10 pack.
Yeah.
dedicated. So, all right. Let's chat a little bit about kind of your time at TC. So you were familiar with TC Boots because you were an athlete there. So next, when you started coaching there, and just being exposed to speed development and the private side and the challenges that comes with that. So tell me a little bit more about like how that set you up for success now, what it was like with you and Steve, kind of just doing anything, everything, trying to mess around with everything related to speed development. So like just your time at TC Boost.
Yeah, I mean, I was just starting off, so I didn't have like a full-time slate of athletes and everything. And I was 22, 23 years old at the time. So I feel like I was still in pretty good shape then. I was able to do a lot more and recover a lot faster than I am now. And same with Steve. And that's where we would just like, and Steve wasn't as busy as he is, believe it or not.
Crazy.
And we would just guinea pig ourselves. We'd write each other workouts. We'd do some dumb things. We did some smart things. Like, I mean, there's the one acceleration complex that we use to this day still, that heavy resisted sprint, the bound, and then time sprint. And I mean, it still holds test of time in terms of improving on that short, acute workout. But things like that, like where we just came up and like, hey, what if we implement that? Or hey, let's do this to our change of direction, or let's add this to some agility, or well, how can we make it more chaotic? I mean, it was just it was dumb and dumber in the gym. And we got some good out of it.
To speak on Pat's strength, when he came back most recently, first he maxed out the Nord board. Like he went all the way down and then just like gave up because you were like, oh, well, I guess I'm done doing the Nordic curl now. So, and then next is me, you and Steve, we were benching, and I was definitely put to shame by just watching you bench it and do your thing. So I can only imagine what kind of outputs you had way back when you were doing all this stuff. But I think it's so valuable to have the ability and all the equipment and the space that we have at TC Boost to like really experiment. Like there were things I would never have an athlete do unless I know like what it feels like. And it makes sense in theory, but you don't know what it's like in real life. So it's like, do it for myself. Cause if I hurt myself, no one cares, obviously. But if if anyone hurts an athlete, that's like the number one golden rule eye roll of performance. So it's like the process is have an idea. Does it make sense in theory? Do it to yourself. Try with like a select few like older kind of athletes. And then there you go. So I think Steve was telling me you guys did like timed straight leg bounds, like a fly 10, and then all this like crazy, crazy stuff. But so next, as you become full-time after Florida State, go Noles.
Yep.
When was that moment of like, I want to do my own thing. Like I can make my own business. Like that's sweet. Let's do it. Like when did those thoughts happen?
I mean, those thoughts happen pretty recent. Like I mean, after schools, working at TC Boost, moving out to Colorado, I had no intention of opening up my own gym.
What is it about Colorado?
The mountains.
Mountains, big skier, snowboarder.
It was originally skiing, but now I barely ski, you know, with NFL combine prep and all that stuff during January and February, but I'm able to change my schedule in the summer now as a business owner, and I'll be camping like every weekend.
Was that like a vacation spot for your family growing up, or like?
Here and there we did, like me and my dad climbed a bunch of 14ers growing up, and then got into skiing, and yeah. Didn't want to stay in the Chicagoland area. Wanted to try something else. Already did the South, so head out west.
A buddy of mine, super smart, like dad was a professor at MIT. He's like a just crazy genius. Like he was that guy that went to the high school and middle school for math class. He got some like fancy computer programming job and they were like, oh, you can work remote, you know, full time. Mm-hmm. And he was like, all right, I'm going to Colorado. I'm like, first off, of all the places you could pick, you pick Colorado. And then second, like, even within the state, like how do you even pick where to go within the state? So like, just like to pick a place, like, I don't know, for me, I'll just follow the job. Like if I could go anywhere, I'll just like go where I work. Mm-hmm. So like, what was that process like? Or like how many years were you at TC Boost before you decided to move?
So I was probably a year and a half. It was a year and a half.
Quick turnaround.
Yep.
So next, myself, selfishly, why I wanted to have you on is that as I'm trying to figure out what's kind of next for me, I thought it was the college/pro route because I like my time as a GA, but like the autonomy, kind of the pressure of like having to like make your own way. Obviously, like that's what you do for a living. So just to get a little bit more behind the scenes, like what it actually looks like, because of course, like I'm sure you can attest to an outsider, like, oh, make my own business and train athletes and make my own schedule. Like it's not all of that, obviously. So once you were like, boom, I'm doing my own thing, Colorado, how did like finding the facility, finding like where you were going to work, like what was that process, that first kind of action steps in making that transition?
So, I mean, I think a first action step is just getting experience. Like I've told previous interns and everything, and I guess it's kind of a compliment because they think I make it easy, I guess, is what I say. But I'm like, you'll be here from 5 a.m. to 2 a.m. the next day. Mm-hmm. The same thing, trying to work on things. I mean, putting equipment together, putting prices together, things like that, trying to figure out all that. But really, so you're gaining experience. So like, I left TC Boost, went on to work at Authentic Performance Center in Colorado. And Joel was starting it, and it was about 6 months in when I started. And so it was kind of groundworks there. That had a couple different scenarios, and wasn't like a full-on new gym. It was kind of like we were partnered with a hockey club, so they already had a lot of the foundation set. But it was still a new route of getting equipment, getting this, getting hiring coaches, things like that. And I was kind of on the front steps in terms of that with Joel. And then I got the title of director of coaching. So I was in charge of all the coaching, interns, things like that. So I got that knowledge part down too. of hiring a new coach and setting up the internships. And then we actually moved facilities. So we moved into a bigger place, left that hockey thing. So it was kind of, now we're back on kind of a new facility per se, but with our same name and everything like that. So that, again, building, just all things like that. And then we kind of, there was some other partners in the mix there where personally I didn't like where it was heading. That's where I decided to, you know, talking to Jeremy Boone, talking to Steve, talking to Tommy, talking to a bunch of people that I had in my corner that I could trust. And I've, at that point too, I built a client base too. I didn't just go into it with no client base. I've built a bunch of clients, created a reputation, got a bunch of referrals coming in every year. So that alone, so building the kind of just learning through that whole process, figuring out what I didn't like about other facilities, what I did like based on my experience at other gyms, helped me to guide me where I wanted my vision, my mission of my gym to be, and really what it focused on.
Was there anything in your contract about like taking clients?
No, because we're all independent contractors. Okay. So, and now as a business owner or whatever, and seeing it firsthand, like if a coach is leaving and going to the facility down the street or whatever, it's not the facility that keeps these.
It's the coach.
It's the coach. And yeah. So they have that relationship with that coach. I can't rebuild it. I mean, I lost some clients when I moved out because I moved in kind of a different area of Colorado. But I referred them to coaches I trusted in that area. So I've realized like some are going to say majority are going to come with you based on the relationships you form, whether it is another 30-minute drive for them, things like that. You're coming for the coach, not the facility, not the bells and whistles you have in your gym, things like that. So that was a big, I realized that. And so like as an owner, yes, it'll stink to lose clients like that. But if they're with that coach and that coach leaves it, I completely understand now. So that was like another thing of like, just learn through the way of, I wouldn't have learned any of that if I just opened up a place right away.
For sure. So as the noob that I am relative to like being a business owner, my thought was like, oh, you're like coaching TC Boost, like fly out on a weekend, have a realtor, go see a few facilities, fly back, da da da. Do you think that would be a feasible option, or would you recommend going out there for a year just to see what it's actually like to get those clients, build some connections in the area? Do you think that would be a plausible option, or would you recommend like going and doing it first before literally going all in, buying a space, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, that'd be a tough task. Because again, it's you're going to be paying rent already and you might not even have a client yet. So how are you making that money is a huge thing.
So getting that client base first.
You don't know your demographics really as well. You don't know. I mean, there was the previous spot when I was with the previous gym, we moved to an area where it was an up and coming area, but athletes weren't as dedicated to their sports and everything. So therefore athletes aren't looking for that extra training, things like that. And again, we're a novelty, so it's not like a needed thing. So where I moved from my facility, I did the research. I'm close to the high school I work with. There's a lot of sports. There's four high schools within 8 miles of me.
Clutch.
And youth sports is abundant here. So
heck yeah.
The demand there is a lot higher than we were in the previous area.
So
that helps as well.
So next, like what were some of those conversations, questions, topics that you intentionally brought to Jeremy, Steve, Tommy to like get the most value kind of out of them, or like what was missing that you were just super curious about? Like if you remember those conversations.
Yeah, well, the big thing I remember with Jeremy, I still have it in my notes today, is like when I brought it up to him, it was literally a 5-minute conversation, like, come back to me after you answer these. And it was, what are pros and cons of each facility you've been at? What do you like about each one? What do you think could have changed a little different so you would have stayed, and things like that. And you just built this kind of puzzle piece together, and then it formed Pivotal. I mean, because every gym I was at had positives. Every gym I was at had negatives, just like I'm sure there's negatives here that I'm blind to see what my other coaches
say. All positives.
But that's how you kind of formulate that. It's kind of like a math equation. You put everything in and boom, it pops out to what you want it to be.
So next, like Tommy, having had TC Boost for 20 plus years, what like business specific finance questions, like apart from like training and like the athlete part, like what business wise was in the front of your mind?
Talking to him, it was all the behind the scene things, liability insurance, all different types of things like that, utilities, things like that, what to cover, costs, there was things I wasn't even aware of that I needed to get in line. But then it brought down to facility, like square footage, what is the shape of the building? I have a physical therapist subleasing for me. So we talked about how he handled that, because he's had a couple different PTs in his past too, and how he would have changed things like that. So we talked about that, and so a lot of that, and how to manage coaches, how to manage the business, how to manage the balance between personal life and business life, things like that.
And then next, we'll bring Steve into this. So having like a really good friend slash colleague slash someone who just like understands the field. So like my probably best friend from undergrad, he's like an accountant. So like we can talk full-time jobs and like all that stuff, but he just doesn't like get it. So how is having someone in your corner, or like versus like going to like a parent, like they just don't get it. So like having someone like Steve throughout that process, what was that kind of like? And basically I'm just saying, let's just roast Steve for the next 3 minutes.
Yeah, no, Steve is definitely, I mean, he's kind of like my biggest hype man. Cause I mean, going back to that, what you just brought up, like my dad, small business owner, he's a dentist. He owns his own practice, things like that. So yes, we have similarities of entrepreneurship, leadership, things like that, but he doesn't understand the field of, he's like, oh, you don't need that square footage, or you don't need that piece of equipment, things like that. That's when I go to Steve and we break down all that stuff of someone that knows the field, someone that knows how to build relationships with coaches, teams, clubs, understanding those demographics, like we just talked about, of like, is the area heavy populated in youth sports, things like that. So that was a big thing. And Steve, and also telling him to like, he'd challenge me of have conversations with the parents. So that was like a big thing too, before I moved on to do my own thing, is I brought in parents, kids that I trusted, that I've trained for 5-6 years, and like, hey, would you follow me if I moved here? What do you think about me opening up my own place? Talking to parents, like, hey, would you help spread the word? Would you recommend me to other people if I open up my own thing? Cause I'm going to need a lot of help. Cause Steve knows how to have those conversations. And then also Steve just keeps it real. He'll call me out when I'm bluffing.
So next, walk us through the moment when you wake up and it is your first day as the official business owner of Pivotal Sports Performance. You just signed the lease. Like, do you remember that first day?
Well, I kind of had a weird, because I started Pivotal, but I didn't have a place yet.
Okay.
So I started Pivotal during COVID.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Makes for a good story.
Yeah.
Some adversity.
I had my black market gym is what I called it.
Hey.
Just in the garage. Because a couple of pro guys were like, yeah, hey, we still need to train. So like, I started doing that.
Like at your house?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And I just put together a little gym. Things like that. My neighbors were coming over and lifting. There actually, funniest story. Day one of like, I end up getting like booked out from like 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. like every day.
Out of your garage.
First day I open up my garage. And this is all like trusted clients at first. just because it's still like I didn't want to take on new clients or whatever. Mm-hmm. But a couple houses down, an older couple, mid-60s or whatever, walk by and they're like, when are you going to be done with that session? I was like, in like 15 minutes. All right, we'll come back around. I was like, the whole rest of that session, I'm like, are they really going to be like Karens and just shut me down?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, shoot. Like, this is the first day. And like, they've seen me. I have kids running on the street. We're doing speed training on the road, dodging cars. So they just see that and they come by. And they're like, our gym shut down. Can we train with you?
Let's go.
I was like, oh, yeah. So I was like, oh, sweet. I thought you guys were going to cancel me.
Good thing COVID happened in like that late spring, late March. Cause imagine if it was like Colorado winter.
Oh yeah. We had some days where it was in the garage freezing cold, but then it was also in the middle of summer and it was boiling hot.
Yeah.
And that's where the day I was like, all right, I have to get a facility. Cause in that whole time, like a little pre-COVID leading up, I was looking at facilities, things like that. And then of course, during the shutdown, I couldn't look at buildings or anything for a while, but then I found myself having 8 D1 football guys in my garage.
Hey.
At one time, I was like, all right, I got to find a place.
Yeah.
It is jam-packed in here. We're trying to do like we got two platforms of cleans and like freaking 6 feet of space.
Yeah. There's a lot of man in a small space. Yeah, there's
a lot of man.
Including Coach Pat himself, for sure. I got connected with a guy reached out based on just some of my like YouTube Excel tutorials, resistance speed stuff. And he's from Canada. And he was telling me that like, if you're caught at a park or like, et cetera, like, and someone snitches on you, the fine was what? It was either like 500 or like 5K. So he would have like max, like 2 athletes in his garage just because he was like so paranoid. So it's good that those old people didn't cancel you. That would not been good. So like the first year business owner, sports performance facility, what was one of the biggest things that met your expectations, whether it's positive or negative, or just like you were mentally prepared for it and it's exactly what you imagined? Your biggest positive surprise and then your biggest kind of misconception, like you thought something was going to happen X way, but it was like a 180 degree of kind of what you planned.
That's a good question.
We'll start with I know that's like 3-in-1, so we'll start with like what were you mentally prepared for and it was like exactly how people described it and kind of what you had planned for.
Just the constant influx of questions from parents and everything of
parents are
how
wild
to sign up, things like that, of like scheduling, all that stuff that like you feel like you lay it out as clear as day, but they find ways to ask 400 questions from it. So that was expected and was like a shock. Like, wow, people really do struggle with all this stuff. Which is, again, one of the things I learned is hire someone that can help you do that. Cause for the first 6 months, I was the one man show and I was on my computer after a full day of training for another 4 hours trying to answer emails at like 11 o'clock at night because I don't have any time during the day to answer those emails, things like that. And then you gotta wake up early to answer them back. So hiring someone for that, an assistant, is definitely worth the money and the investment and saves you a headache and gives you a little more life. Because I'm not one to sit on a computer or on the phone all day long.
I could not imagine operating without Vicky. Like every time she goes on like a little weekend trip or like a week long trip, and like, it is just wild. Like I could not imagine doing it without someone dedicated to just doing like customer service stuff.
I was out of town and my assistant was out of town this weekend. It's again, the weekend leading up to our busy summer. And I have 150 emails and 86 texts right now.
Are those all real people?
I hope so.
Of all the emails, or is it like some?
Yeah, because it's just like to this one email.
Oh my!
Yeah,
you have some grinding to do.
Yeah.
So next, what was like the biggest surprise? Like something that no one had mentioned in all your conversations, or like you had never experienced in the facilities you were at before, maybe because you'd never been an owner before, but like one thing that like reflecting on the past, you couldn't even have guessed that that was going to happen if you tried.
Actually, what surprised me most is like parents kind of seen this vision that I had like farther than me of like, I mean, within a year I was already, and I'm getting it repeatedly now because of where we're at, but like, when are you going to expand? When are you going to expand? And like, I've always had that vision of expanding, but never like, but seeing that parents, so they're definitely seeing the benefits and they want to expand because they want a bigger facility, things like that for their kids and everything. So that was kind of like the one surprise, like, oh, doing something right, number one. But it's kind of cool to see like parents seeing that vision of the conversations you have with them, things like that. It kind of grows their imagination and things like that as well. Of like just trying to, and I guess going along with that too is parents willing to help. If as long as you have clear conversations with parents, like they're willing to help out of like trying to get you in contact with this guy, trying to get you in contact with this person in terms of, oh, here, you need some insurance things. Here's this person. You need this for this. You need a ladder here. My neighbor down the street has a 20-foot ladder and brings it over. Little things like that, kind of building that community culture piece, was really kind of a cool shock.
Everybody knows everybody. Like, it's wild, all of the like kind of just side casual conversations, and then like a parent chimes in, it's like, oh, I got this, or like, oh, I got that.
Yeah, it's not even for the referral part.
No, like, yeah, it's just everything else.
The referral part, it's the other things that you don't want to go to Home Depot and buy, but they'll like, they'll drive over their stuff, or
oh yeah,
they got someone to do that.
Yeah, people love being like needed and like being helpful. Mm-hmm. And then just like being open and having that clear conversation, and like, just why not see what could happen. But if it's like, hey Pat, you should expand, be like, hey, you got 10k to help me out?
Yeah, right.
Be like, it's just like when all of our high schoolers, mostly the girls who aren't as strong, but they're like, you guys need like 17.5-pound dumbbells and like 22.5-pound dumbbells. Yeah. Like, I can bench 20s, but not 25s. It's like, well, you want to pay for it then? Because dumbbells aren't free. It's like, everyone loves spending our money with all these suggestions about like what we should do. But it must have been encouraging as like, so like, wait, how old were you when you started that PSP?
2020. Literally, back to, I moved in 2 years ago into this place.
So your chronological age, not to expose you on.
I was 29.
29, okay. Just to have like that support of like, they see it too. And like, I would assume like you hadn't had in-depth conversations about like your visions for PSP. So they were like kind of coming with that idea kind of on their own. So just to get like, not that you need external validation, but like just the fact, like it must've felt good. Like everyone, so that must've been a cool kind of like, the first conversation must've been like, oh, okay, like that's cool, I guess. But like, and then it's the second parent and then the third parent. And like, that must've just been such a cool feeling.
Yeah, for sure.
So next, the biggest misconception, like something you thought was gonna happen, or maybe people had described that, like, you're like, wait, this hasn't happened to me. Like, what were they talking about? Or what was I thinking?
The Groupon shoppers.
Ooh.
Which I've always heard things like that of people trying to find the next deal and everything. And I haven't really, I mean, I guess because we're strategically placed of we're the only facility in this area. But I haven't really gotten like someone like trying to nickel and diming, or just like do like a 1 month trial or whatever and then be gone. Cause I've heard from a lot of people of like, you're going to get a bunch of those and just got to be prepared of like, don't get your feelings hurt, things like that. But I haven't really had that. So I haven't had to deal with that.
Definitely a pleasant surprise for sure. So next, a question I did send you beforehand. So your coolest/craziest story. So like, what's the one story you kind of always pull out at the bar, or like when you meet someone new and you're talking about what you do for a living?
Well, I always say to people at a bar or whatever is I just watch people work out. Like, what do you do for a living? I watch people work out. And then just stay silent. Let them try to figure it out.
I roast middle schoolers and high schoolers all day and just make fun of them.
Yeah, that too. Just a story I think about is like that has helped me go through everything process-wise of getting to where I'm at now is being selected of like one of the 15 people to go to Big House's house for like a one-day clinic. They just randomly selected 15 people off Instagram.
Randomly.
Yeah.
Ish.
Just everyone commented or whatever, but he like just selected. I mean, he had no clue who I was. Yeah. It was my first year in Colorado. So I was 24, 25. And only into year three of coaching or something. So, I mean, I just found out about who this guy was too, reading the tier system. So I like followed him or whatever and then posted and yeah, got selected. And the people I met at that clinic are like, I could call like all of them up now. And it was only like a 4-hour clinic just for a day. And it was like, all right, I'm going to, and then I don't really fly much. I was like, all right, I'll buy a ticket. I'll fly out there. I can't miss this opportunity. But there's people like Andy McCloy was there and he's been a huge help in terms of my business mentorship. Someone that I could call up, like Tommy, in terms of he's owned a business for 20 years. He actually has a business consulting job, like career now is where he has, it's called the Tribe, and he has 20 guys on there that talk and everything about business in terms of sports performance. So he's like a huge one that I just met there when I was 25 years old and kind of like kept on conversations, but never like business side that until recently. But that was like a crazy story of like Gary Schofield was there and that's how I first met him. And then got involved in the NHSSCA through that.
Director of Colorado, big man, Pat Nolan. You were the director of Colorado NHSSCA, right?
Yeah.
For a few years.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was like things like that. Like that led to all these other avenues of just meeting a couple of these people for a couple hours. But it was like that event. And I'm pretty sure like all 15 of those guys can say the same thing. And Joe, Ken has said it before too. He's like that group that I had was kind of a cool group. So just crazy how I was selected or randomly chosen and how that's led to so many ties.
Wild, yeah. With conferences and clinics and stuff like that, the material, just to speak in a overgeneralization, these stuff like that, now that's a little different because it was like self-selected and whatnot, but like we recently hosted Donnie Thompson's body tempering clinic. Mm-hmm. And a very specific demographic, more like powerlifting, CrossFit, strength sports. So it's not that it's like not valuable to us. I learned a bunch of stuff, but like it wasn't really like we didn't buy any body tempering things. We're probably not gonna do it with our athletes, but it was like the people that we chatted with, the numbers that we got, just to expose kind of ourselves and just like a new demographic, because everyone knows everyone. So like Donnie Thompson, you know, he now knows Tommy, he now knows all of us. And like, what are the odds that someone in his phone is in the performance space? Mm-hmm. Probably pretty high, you know? So like, of course, if there's money implications with flights and if it's expensive, but like go into clinics, I guess some advice for the listeners, like how many people, not that it's a quantity game, but like if I left here only with notes in my notebook of the presentations and no one's number, no exchanging of Instagrams, like that definitely was not the most successful clinic then.
Yeah, I was just in Florida 2 weekends ago for the Simply Faster, the clinic, with Les Spellman, Tony Villani, Tony Holler, and Joey G. And Tony Villani opened up his house and had 15 of us over for a barbecue after the clinic.
That's probably way more valuable than his presentation.
Yeah, the conversations we have there and everything, it's way better than Oh, I mean, the lectures and presentations were great, but
yeah, not to say that they were bad, but
the hallway chats is what I like always get pumped about now at clinics.
Tommy and I went to the NFL Combine this past year, and because he's been gone for like 20 years, and there's this one bar in the main hotel where like it's a 3 or 4 day event that like every night people just go there and just like drink, and like that is the most valuable part of the combine. ATs, GMs, trainers, like people in the business office, like coaches. Like literally Tommy said he was in the elevator and some guy got in and he was like, hey, you know, like, how are you? Like, what are you doing here? And he's like, oh, I'm the GM for whoever. And then like, it was like him, the GM, the strength coach for whatever pro team. They just like chatted for like 3 hours, you know? So it's like, there's so much value beyond just the actual clinic. So it was cool that you had a story. Crazy how the clinic came to be, but crazy how beyond that actual clinic it has been for you so far.
Yeah.
So last kind of question, another one that I did send you. So the X's and O's, I always say the X's and O's are what bring us together, but that's not really what it's about, as we just demonstrated with your previous story. So, but we have to be good at what we do to get, you know, in a spot to chat on podcasts, to go to these clinics, be invited, et cetera, et cetera. So if you had to give the listener one piece of advice to help them become better kind of in their own journey, whether it's writing on a sticky note for their mirror or just whatever, you know, a weekly reminder, something that works for you or anything I guess you really want, what would that one piece of advice be?
Find a way to hold yourself accountable. So like you mentioned, my mission statement in the beginning is leave a impact that lasts longer than any scoreboard. Well, how do I hold myself accountable? I can just say, oh yeah, that guy really had a great session today because of me or whatever like that. So, and this is going back to Jeremy Boone. He challenged me on this, and now I challenge everyone, like, how to hold yourself accountable in different ways and figure out a way to do it. So, I mean, since I sent Jeremy a video, a picture the other day of this journal that I have. It was like from 4 years ago now, 5 years ago now, possibly, of every night before I go to bed, I have to write down at least one person who I impacted that day and like write a little story about it. So I could go back to like 2017 and find on what is today, May 31st, of who I impacted that day.
Oh my God.
And I mean, it could be like a little short snippet today. It could be like a really impactful one where it takes like a whole page. So that way it holds me accountable of like, I can't skip a day. And now it's become a habit of mine, like every night before I go to bed, I'm gonna write it down. And then I can go to bed. But knowing I had an impact on every day. So then again, you wake up in the morning, I know I have to have an impact on someone's day, or else I can't write it in that book. And I'm not gonna just write down, oh yeah, I impacted this group today. Like I try to make it pretty detailed. But that's, so like I'm talking to one of my football guys I train, and he's really dedicated on becoming D1. I'm like, all right, how can you get to that point? What do you have to do every day? And so he was like, well, I can run routes on air every day. I can watch film every day. I was like, all right, how are you going to hold yourself accountable to that? And then I'm not giving him the answer right now, but I'm letting him figure out. He's been like kind of texting me like, oh, I could do this. Like you have like a point system, things like that. So yeah, I'm letting him figure it out as well. But it's, again, it's going to be a way that keeps him every day, whether you feel like you're going to do it or you don't feel like it, it's going to force you to do that action.
Mm-hmm. And to use some of Jeremy Boone's language and the leader kit material, is everyone can have this big grand vision, plan, promised land, whatever you call it, but it's the urgency and the what's at stake and like the why now. And it is hard when you don't have like a buddy or something like that. So like getting super crystal clear on like, what happens if I don't make an impact on someone today? What happens if I don't pursue my football vision today. So I think, like, I would assume, I know that you're quite the guy and coach, but over the last 4 years, you've definitely missed a day or two.
Mm-hmm.
Describe kind of what that feeling's like when you're on a hot streak doing well. You're like, I'm doing so good. You wake up, you're like, I gotta impact someone today, and then it becomes like 11 at night. You're like, uh-oh, this isn't good.
Shoot a text out. That's what I do.
Oh, okay.
Shoot a text out to a college guy that maybe isn't even playing sports anymore to say, hey, how's school?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't know how well that can go to that person. Like, oh, wow, he's thinking of me.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of have a little text conversation with that athlete, whatever. That's kind of like my emergency backup plan, usually, if I don't have a face-to-face encounter, or if I'm out of town, how can I do something? I mean, social media makes it so much easier to leave those little impacts. But yeah, usually I try for that more person-to-person encounter. But again, you can't always do that. So having a little conversation with someone, things like that, goes a long way.
Creative, always making it happen. And it's funny you mentioned journaling, because I have mine right here. Good thing it blurred it. But so like a leader being a value engineer and like wanting to build something beyond my current role right now, I'll admit I definitely have stopped, but I made it through. Like, there's a decent amount of days, but like in the morning I write the date and I'm a value engineer. And then how did I create value today? ? And then at night I would write down, you know, anywhere 1 to 3-4 bullet points, whether it was coaching specific, whether it was my brand specific stuff. And like, when you get to the end of the day and it's just like, oh man, this is not good. I could definitely be more creative with stuff like that. But I think, something tangible is a good way to keep it accountable. All right. So all done. You made it through the questions of death on the spot. I appreciate you being a good sport and letting me put you on the spot. So now I want to say thank you very much for your time, your openness, your candidness, your stories, but I'll roll out the red carpet for you to shamelessly, emphasis on shameless, plug whatever you got to plug. Where can the listener get more of Coach Pat Nolan?
Well, you know, I don't have any cool products or anything like some of your speakers on here. But yeah, just on Instagram is probably where you can find me the best. And that's Coach _ P-Man. I think, yeah. Coach _P-Man.
Hope so. It will be it will be in the show notes.
I always forget where the underscore is. Coach _ P-Man, or at Pivotal Sports Performance, are pretty much coincided together, even though now I have an intern running my social media, which is awesome.
Smart.
So then I don't have to do that.
It looks nice, by the way.
And they do it better than me. Twitter is all the same there. You can email me, call me, whatever. My email is coach.patricknolan@gmail.com. And then a podcast I listened to one time with Matt Chedid. I don't know where he's at right now.
Is he Furman, or is that someone else?
He was at Arkansas State. He was at UMass. He's been, I can't remember where he's at now. He hasn't been as active on social media. But he's awesome in terms of leadership stuff, and just strength and conditioning. But he left his number on a podcast one time. Called him, answered some questions for me.
Wow.
So ever since that day, I've always put my number on here too. So that's 224-612-0395. Just trying to return the favor.
Fantastic. So hopefully our stories and conversations and topics caught the listener's ear a little bit. So anything speed, business, professional development, Pat Nolan is your guy. So all of those will be in the show notes. I want to say thank you very much again, and I'm looking forward to chatting next time.
Of course. Thanks for having me, Matt.